from NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music
in the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, pianist Peter Dugan.
Thanks, Joanne. Today we're asking the question, where are they now? I'm talking about the performers on From the Top. You're meeting these incredible young musicians each week. Do you ever wonder what happens to them when they get older? Well, we're going to reconnect with some alumni now to find out about the cool stuff that they've been up to and to hear the fantastic music that they've been making recently as they forge careers in the arts. We'll meet a pianist composer who's written a powerful piece to raise money for the community affected by the contaminated water crisis in Flint, Michigan, and an alum who won last year's Queen Elizabeth competition, and we're going to hear her electrifying winning performance from the final round. But up first on the program, alums who are married to each other. Yep, it's a little from-the-top romance. But more to the point, the two of them are members of the Catalyst String Quartet. That quartet is engaged in a project to unearth and record music of lesser-known composers. And we're going to hear them perform a piece by Samuel Coleridge Taylor, an early 20th century British composer of African descent. Our married alums are violinist Carla Donahue Perez and violist Paul Laraya. The two other members of the Catalyst Quartet are violinist Jesse Montgomery and cellist Carlos Rodriguez. And for this piece, the quartet is joined by pianist Stuart Goodyear. Here they are performing the first movement of Coleridge Taylor's piano quintet in G minor. Thank you. That was the first movement of the Piano Quintet in G Minor by Samuel Coleridge Taylor, performed by members of the Catalyst String Quartet, Jesse Montgomery and Carla Donahue Perez on violin, violist Paul Araya, and cellist Carlos Rodriguez. And for this quintet recording, the Catalyst Quartet was joined by pianist Stuart Goodyear. The recording we just heard is part of the Catalyst Quartet's Uncovered project, produced by Alan Bice and Bruce Egger for Azika Records. To talk with me now, we have our From the Top alums in the quartet, violinist Carla Donahue Perez and violist Paul Araya. You guys, that was such a beautiful performance. You take this piece that is relatively unknown and you perform it with such conviction, such passion. Tell me a little bit about the Uncovered project.
So a friend of ours at a camp that we teach at kept bringing in all these wonderful works that we hadn't really heard. And we started doing some research and finding all these like amazing works that were just so beautiful. And we would look on all of the platforms that you can find, like iTunes,
Spotify,
to try and find recordings. And there was one professional recording of some of these works, or like maybe two.
Or zero,
pretty much. And so we just kind of, at first we were like, we're just going to focus on these three composers.
Right.
Samuel Coleridge Taylor, Florence B. Price, and Coleridge Taylor Perkinson. But then we were like, you know, there's probably a lot more out there. And so I think now we're thinking that we want to leave the project open-ended and have many volumes.
I mentioned that you two are married. I know that, Paul, you weren't in the original Catalyst Quartet like you were, Carla. But Paul, you joined before the romance really took off. So talk
true.
About how did the love emerge while also being in the quartet?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a tough one. But in my first year, I had made the big move to New York. And so I was doing the sort of like bohemian, you know, like roommate couch surfing kind of thing. And Carla, what happened to be the nice one that would constantly offer her futon for me to crash in those first early days.
Right.
So we just ended up becoming really close. And also the fact that Carla was actually raised in Puerto Rico, and my ethnic heritage is like my grandparents were from Puerto Rico. So we kind of had that little similarity or whatever.
Yes. And, you know, in all honesty, like I don't think we were very aware of what was happening in terms of feelings. But our colleagues were, in fact, very much aware. And they confronted us about our feelings without us even knowing that there were feelings, which is really funny. Yeah.
It's a really beautiful thing because especially like in the early days, people like will tell you to watch out, you know, like, oh, you're going to break up the quartet. You know, you have to take it really seriously. But when it works, it's really beautiful because you have your partner that can understand such a crazy lifestyle. Like,
totally.
The only way you can really understand it is like to be in it, you know?
Absolutely. I want to mention the Sphinx Organization. The Catalyst Quartet was actually started by the Sphinx Organization, a hugely important nonprofit dedicated to developing and supporting diversity and inclusion in classical music. And I've been told that your quartet has its own mission or sort of guiding artistic principle.
If we had to summarize our most basic mission, it's the communication of ideas in a very visceral way. And in particular, our programming definitely exemplifies the idea that we want to tell some type of a story or communicate some kind of a bigger idea through the music that we play.
Mm.
We're not limiting ourselves necessarily to certain repertoire. It just has more to do with what we're trying to tell, what story we're trying to tell.
You guys, I love this recording of the Samuel Coleridge Taylor. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album and the future volumes that are yet to come. This is really exciting stuff. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Here's our host, Peter Dugan.
Thanks, Joanne. And I just want to add a dedication. You know, the collaboration with the Jack Kent Cook Foundation that you describe every week is due in large part to the vision of a really wonderful person, Stuart Haney, a lifetime board member of the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, who sadly passed away recently. One of Stuart's greatest joys was getting to know and support many of the foundation's 2,700 Cook scholars over the past 15-plus years. From the Top was fortunate to call Stuart a friend. He cheered us on at several of our galas and, most recently, at a From the Top recording in Virginia. So on behalf of the over 300 From the Top musicians who received a life-changing Jack Kent Cook scholarship, and as a Jack Kent Cook scholar myself, I want to thank him for his humanity, generosity, and curiosity. Today is From the Top's annual Where Are They Now program, so we're reconnecting with alums and hearing music they're making now as working artists. Baritone John Brancy came on From the Top in 2007, and since then he's been touring the country as a soloist, singing with some of the top companies here and abroad, and he just won his first Grammy. And on a personal note, I'm really excited to have John on the program today. We met as classmates at Juilliard, and together with composer Armand Rangeberon and baritone Tobias Greenhall, we created Operation Superpower, a superhero opera for kids in schools. And you're going to hear more about that in a moment. But John and I have also toured extensively as recital partners over the past decade. In fact, in 2018, I had the privilege of joining him as he competed in the voice edition of the Montreal International Music Competition, where he took no less than first prize in the art song division. So here are two songs by Sergei Rachmaninoff recorded live from that winning performance in the final round, How Fair This Spot and Spring Waters, with yours truly at the piano.
Thank you.
You just heard baritone John Brantsey sing two songs by Sergei Rachmaninoff, How Fair This Spot and Spring Waters. And that was me, Peter Dugan, on the piano. And that performance was recorded live in the final round of the Montreal International Music Competition. And John won first prize for that performance. Now, those pieces will be included on our upcoming album, The Journey Home. John, can you talk a little bit about that project?
Yeah, it was an album to commemorate the end of the World War I centennial, specifically the armistice. And The Journey Home was all about finding home after a sort of catastrophe or catastrophic event. And we went on a big tour around the United States with that program. And we performed at West Point Academy, the U.S. Naval Academy, Smithsonian Institute, and ultimately the Kennedy Center.
Another one of your projects is Operation Superpower, which is essentially a superhero program for children that uses operatic music. Can you describe, first of all, what that is?
Well, Operation Superpower was an assembly program for kids. So we would go into the school and perform early in the morning or during recess for about 50 minutes. It's like the, you know, any superhero story. We have the origin story that starts the show. And then the singers actually are the superheroes that help the composer through the story and help him deal with the bullies. And the program was designed to inspire the kids to discover their own superpowers through music, and specifically through singing and working on what we call the five elements. So courage, hope, honesty, imagination, and friendship.
Yeah, and it's just amazing that contemporary classical music, in a way, is crucial to this very accessible art form, which at the end of the day is really mostly about character building, that's why I think the project is so special.
Well, the program has always been, a collaborative effort, and you were a big part of that, Peter, as well, in the early days.
John, we have to talk about some very exciting news that has come out this year. You just won a Grammy. You're a Grammy Award winner. What was the project that you won for?
The project is Fantastic Mr. Fox by Tobias Picker, and we recorded it with Gil Rose and BMOP, so Boston Modern Orchestra project.
And you sang the role of Mr. Fox, and you won the Grammy for Best Opera Recording. So let's hear a track.
What has become of me? What am I now?
Okay, so what are we listening to here?
This is the Act 2, Scene 1. As Fantastic Mr. Fox, this is the part in the story where I lose my tail.
The finest tail for miles around lies lifeless, lonely on the ground. A ridiculous brush.
So I'm singing this sort of lament mini aria to open up the act where I'm crying about the fact that my tail is gone, and Mrs. Fox has to come out and sort of console me, but then be very stern with me about the fact that I'm still the Fantastic Fox without my tail, and I have to go and best those farmers.
Man, this role is like, it's made for you. I mean, not just in terms of the personality, which is you know, this great big showman, but also with a tremendous amount of heart and soul, but also just the virtuosity that it calls for. It's great. I love this recording. Everyone should go listen to the Fantastic Mr. Fox album.
Oh, thanks, Peter.
John, it's been so awesome to have you on the show and to just share your wonderful artistry with all of our listeners.
Oh, it's been really a pleasure and obviously an honor to be on the From the Top with you.
Since we're on a roll here celebrating major international competition wins by From the Top alums, let's keep it going by reconnecting with violinist Stella Chen. Stella came on the show in 2006 when she was just 13 years old. Flash forward 14 years and she's become a force of nature on the violin. Last year, she won the Queen Elizabeth competition, which is really one of the biggies. The competition sent us audio from her exciting final round. So here's Stella Chen performing the third movement of Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto in D major, along with the Belgium National Orchestra under the direction of Hugh Wolff.
Thank you.
We heard violinist and From the Top alum Stella Chen perform the final movement of Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto in D Major with the Belgian National Orchestra under the direction of Hugh Wolf. That was Stella's performance in the final round of the 2019 Queen Elizabeth competition in Brussels, Belgium. And just to say it again, she took first prize, a huge win in a major competition. Stella, that performance has that incredible excitement that just keeps us right on the edge of our seats the whole time.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say.
One can only imagine the intense pressure that you were under. Mm-hmm. But I heard that actually this competition was a little different for you and that it wasn't all that nerve-wracking after all. So how is that even possible?
Well, every time I go on the stage, I definitely feel nervous. But a year ago, I had, you know, sort of found or become more comfortable with my own voice on the violin. And that's part of every step of the process. So it really informed my repertoire choices. It definitely affected my nerves and the way that I was able to communicate on stage. Because I was aiming to share that voice rather than aiming at an abstract, you know, concept of perfection or any sort
right.
of unattainable thing like that.
How about your choice of repertoire for the competition? Would you say that you played it fairly conservatively or did you take some risks?
I definitely took a lot of risk. And that's actually a big part of what made this experience so special to me. One of the pieces I chose to perform was the Schubert Fantasy, which I think if you ask most people, they will say, are you crazy? That's definitely not something you bring to a competition. Because not only is it extraordinarily difficult, it's not overtly virtuosic.
Right.
But really one of the things that most attracted me to the violin when I started at the age of 7 is the ability to sing through the instrument. And the Schubert is just so songful, so lovely. And there's such opportunity to convey vulnerability, which is another reason why people don't usually recommend it for competitions, because it's hard
right.
to be vulnerable. It's especially hard to be vulnerable and exposed when you're nervous. But
if you can, and if you can pull it off, the effect is just incredible. I want to flash back now to 14 years ago when you were on From the Top at just 13 years old. This was in 2006. Looking back on that, would you say your parents were pushing you at that time to be the star musician that you are today? Or is this what they wanted for you?
My parents are definitely thrilled about everything that's been happening. In no way did they ever dream of it or expect it in any way. My parents are academics, and so they were very much insistent that I get a liberal arts education and that, you know, I do my homework and get good grades and go to college and all of that. And so I was lucky enough to meet the now legendary pedagogue Li Lin. And violin was our little passion project, which my parents were okay with as long as I also got good grades and, you know, did all of that.
Right, right. I love that. Well, Stella, it's been awesome to just sit and chat and catch up. And I'm so glad that we got to share your performance in the Queen Elizabeth with all of our listeners, because it's just stunning.
Thanks so much.
Daily joy. Couldn't we all use a bit of daily joy in our daily routines? Well, if you sign up for From the Top's Daily Joy video series, you'll have incredibly joyful minute-long music videos delivered to you daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org and cheer up.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. jkcf.org. From the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. And from the Joyce Foundation, committed to advancing racial equity and economic mobility for the next generation in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. Thank you.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, it's our annual Where Are They Now show, so we're reconnecting with alums of our show who are now out in the world making waves. Next up, an original work for solo piano written to honor and to raise money for the community in Flint, Michigan, who suffered most during the contaminated water crisis there. Here's pianist Peter Dugan.
Thanks, Joanne. So let's hear that solo work performed by the composer himself, Jeremy Ajani Jordan. By the way, Jeremy first appeared on From the Top way back in 2003 when he was just 14 years old. Now he's working in New York as a composer and pianist, and he released this really powerful and moving composition last year, simply titled For Flint.
Thank you.
That was For Flint, composed and performed by pianist Jeremy Ajani Jordan. Listening to that performance now, the emotion in this piece is so potent. Can you describe some of the thoughts or ideas that were just sort of flowing as you were sitting there performing it?
As I was playing it, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about was how can I musically communicate the emotion behind something so serious, you know, something so so devastating. And just thinking about the tragedy of what was happening in Flint, it can really sort of take you, I think, into a negative headspace, you know, when you're sort of demanding justice, you're sort of asking why, you're sort of thinking, you know, how could this happen? But when I was playing that in this, when I was playing it in the studio, I was sort of making a conscious effort not to focus on any of that. Mm. I was more thinking about, you know, if I were a victim of this, what would I want to hear? I mean, could music even help in some way? Or is like, you know, if I were a victim of this, what would I want other people to hear?
And this piece is conceived to raise money for the people of Flint. You can still give now. Go to jeremyajanijordan.com or fromthetop.org to learn more. All right, so let's talk a little bit now, Jeremy, about your artistic journey.
Sure.
You came on From the Top as a teenager, playing really serious classical music at an amazingly high level. Then you went on to Juilliard to study piano performance. Then, after leaving school, you chose to pursue not a typical soloist career, not a typical classical career, really, at all. Can you talk a little bit about the process of discovering who you wanted to be artistically?
You have to understand that I've always viewed myself as a composer. You know, that was just the idea that I had in my head, you know, even when I was a little kid. But, you know, the pursuit of classical music, you know, all of the repertoire that I learned, all of the technical things that I was trying to overcome and still trying to overcome, I was never looking at the end goal as a successful performance or as a successful solo career. I always looked at it as, okay, I want to learn this Chopin etude so that I can understand what's going on in Chopin's head. And of course, you know, you get better at the piano or whatever your instrument is through that process, you know, just sort of by default. But that was never the main goal for me. I was always thinking, I want to become a better composer, so I'm going to study the music of great composers and play it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
As we're talking right now, we are in a period of pretty intense civil unrest. People are out on the streets every day protesting police brutality, protesting institutional racism that has plagued this country for far too long. For you, having grown up as a Black classical musician, what would you say to the kids of color who are coming up now and playing on From the Top? And they're finding themselves immersed in a classical music world, which is largely white.
Yeah. The first thing that I always encourage younger musicians to do, and not just musicians, but just people in general, is to think, okay, but who are you beyond the color of your skin? Like, what's your culture? Like, where are you from? Like, where's your family from? What language did they speak? What sorts of traditions did they uphold? What was important to them? And think beyond that color, number one, and find out who you are, because that will help you to do the second step of the process, which is to find that voice of yours. And you can't find your voice if you don't know who you are, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Things are either positive, moving in a healthy direction, or they're not. They're moving in a negative direction. I consider stagnation to be negative as well, for the record.
Yeah.
And you, you know, as an artist, can always find out pretty easily if what you're doing is moving in a positive or negative direction. And that's what I've been trying to do for my life.
Yeah, you have been. And I feel like what you represent as an artist is just this depth, like always go deeper, always think more, always feel more, you know, about what you're doing. And that's so refreshing, and it's so important for everyone in the classical world and beyond to hear that message. And just really grateful to have you on the show with us and to share your music with our audience.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
From the Top musicians like Jeremy want to change the world for the better, and we're here to support them. That's why From the Top offers leadership training to all of our young musicians. And we're out there with them doing community engagement projects across the country. Learn more about all our programs at fromthetop.org. Podcasts of From the Top, featuring music and interviews not included in the broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org. Peter.
Okay, the final alum we're going to reintroduce you to on today's Where Are They Now program is percussionist Yi Wei. Yi is the only alum on today's program who actually hasn't gone on to become a pro musician. But her work as a social entrepreneur is totally inspiring. Before we talk with her about that, though, let's meet Yi as a musician. Yi grew up in Chicago studying percussion with one of Chicago's greatest youth music organizations, the Percussion Scholarship Group. When she came on From the Top in 2006, we gave her a pretty special opportunity. We had her collaborate with the banjo legend Bela Fleck, performing the music of J.S. Bach, no less. So let's listen to Yi from that time. We're going to hear her first perform solo marimba, the presto from the Violin Sonata in G Minor by Bach, and then you'll hear banjo virtuoso Bela Fleck join her to perform Bach's two-part invention number 13 in A Minor.
Thank you.
We heard percussionist Yi Wei and banjo virtuoso Bela Fleck performing the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. That was recorded back in 2006 when Yi was 18. After spending so much of her teenage years playing and performing music, Yi went to Harvard, and it was during that time that she decided she wanted to explore other directions. I asked her to start there when we met to talk.
So I'd always planned to become a musician, but along the way, I found myself getting captivated by questions of social change. I grew up in a family, an immigrant family, and we lived below the poverty line for all of my life until I got to college and kind of escaped that cycle. And so those issues were very near and dear to my heart, and I felt extremely lucky that I had access to those opportunities to even contemplate those questions. And I didn't want luck to be the only reason people got to experience those experiences.
Well, after your time at Harvard, you got your first job. And is it true that From the Top had a tiny role maybe in that happening?
From the Top definitely had a role. I don't know if I would have gotten the job without my experience with From the Top. So I had this opportunity to serve as a fellow, basically as a volunteer with a stipend to work with an organization of my choice. And I found this great organization called IDE that was working on improving public health in Cambodia. And I was speaking with the director of the program and trying to convince him to take on a fresh, unexperienced 21-year-old. And he was a bit skeptical, clearly did not read my resume, was just skimming it, gets to the very bottom where I listed some fun facts about myself. And I had listed the fact that I had played a duet with Bela Fleck. And immediately he was like, oh my gosh, you must be a pretty decent musician.
There
we
you
have
go.
A 12-person funk band in Cambodia. If you join the band, you can have the job.
The so, funk band.
Yeah. So I was like, sure, whatever it takes.
Okay. So just can you talk a little bit more about what IDE does and what your experience was like? You know, 5.5 years you were in Cambodia.
Yeah, it was a very, very formative period. And IDE, it's an international nonprofit that has a mission of developing rural markets. Mm. And the program in Cambodia was an effort to replicate what IDE had been doing for decades, working in the agriculture space, helping smallholder farmers. And we wanted to see if that type of approach could work in the water and sanitation space. So we started really small. We started as a small pilot trying to prove out, would people buy toilets that were well-designed and would small businesses around Cambodia sell them? And over the course of our time there, when we started, when IDE started, about 23% of the rural population had access to hygienic toilets. And they're now in their final phase, in the final five-year push. And it's anticipated that over 90% of rural Cambodians will have access to toilets now.
Wow. Such important work, and thank you for all that time that you spent there, and that's a beautiful thing that you did. It's really fun for me to just hear about your work, because obviously most of the time I'm speaking with people who are fully in the music world, and to get outside of that is just fascinating. So I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, and this is so fun doing an interview with another alum.
Yeah, right on. Well, that's it for today's Where Are They Now program. I want to thank all the alums who joined us. And whether you're at home or in the car or sunbathing on the roof, thank you for listening. This is pianist Peter Dugan. Please join From the Top next week.
From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Senior Helpers, providing families with personalized in-home care for seniors and those living with Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's. Committed to helping loved ones remain safe and independent at home. at seniorhelpers.com. From Columbia Records, presenting Rough and Rowdy Ways, the first album of original songs by Bob Dylan in 8 years. 10 new songs, including Murder Most Foul. Learn more at bobdylan.com. And from Americans for the Arts.